When Big Mobile charges you an arm and a leg, they're taking your money and your power. And your arm and leg. Boost Mobile gives your power back with an unlimited plan for $25 a month on one of America's largest 5G networks. We can't give you back your arm and your leg because we're not qualified surgeons. Unless you're an iguana who can grow limbs back. Switch to Boost and get an unlimited plan for $25 a month. Boost Mobile. Unleash your power. New customers only. One line, $25 per month with auto pay. Additional restrictions apply. See BoostMobile.com for details.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we are back. And Randy, you have an article there.
Yeah, I think this is the best article I've read in a long time. It says, the true domestic enemy of the American Constitutional Republic is a tyrannical globalist ruling class. And it goes on to say that a recent Gateway Pundit article posed the question, is Lindsey Graham trying to throw the midterm election to the Democrats, and was Mitch McConnell behind it? The answer is simple. Intentional election sabotage. One might ask, why would a Republican senator want to sabotage his own party's chances for election victory? The answer is also simple. The U.S. government is a de facto one-party state composed of the entire Democratic Party, the federal bureaucracy, an obsequious media, a radical academia, and most corporations, and 90% of the Republican Party. The one-party state is beholden to and fulfills the ambitions of rich, powerful globalists whose governance model more closely matches those of World Economic Forum and the Chinese Communist Party, than the American Constitutional Republican. That is why the 90% of the Republican Party does nothing to oppose the Biden's destructive policies and works with the Democrat Party to defeat Make America Great Again Republicans. It's also why 90% of the party does nothing to inhibit Biden's war on Make America Great Republicans. The greatest fear of the tyrannical globalist ruling class is that Americans might take back control of their government. Patriotic Americans should stop thinking about the political battle now underway to determine the survival of the American Republic as one defined between the Democrats and Republicans. It's a battle for control of the United States government by a tyrannical globalist ruling class devoted to maintaining a de facto one-party state, and Americans wish to restore their constitutional republics. Yes, vote like your life depends on it, but it quite literally does. But know that 90% of the Republican Party is part of the tyrannical globalist ruling class, and Republican control of Congress will not necessarily lead to any change in the corrupt status quo. Now, this is to quote Churchill, this is not the end. It's not even the beginning of the end, but it is perhaps the end of the beginning. But if we do not defeat the tyrannical globalist ruling class and take back control of the U.S. government, it will be the end of everything. And that's very true.
All right. Now, here, when we're taking a look at this, that holds true in so many areas. For example, you know, you have people like Josh Hawley. You have people like Jim Jordan. You have people like Marjorie Greene. You have people like Ted Cruz. You have people like Matt Gaetz. Again, a remnant. We have a small percentage of those, and there's others. And Louis Gohmert is a good one. In there that have held their peace. I mean, have taken, you know, stood their ground and actually doing their job.
I agree, but then you got people like Tom Cotton who've kind of slowly sunk into the West. Like, where's he at now?
Yeah, you know, he was out there.
I mean, he was really, like, I thought, a rising star.
Well, here's what happened on that January 6th when we were sold out. That Senate was there. You had Josh Hawley there. You had Jim Jordan there. You had all these people, Margaret Greene. They had all of the information. There was all the evidence right there, the evidence. Now, here, somebody had a job to do. Who was that?
Oh, yeah, Mike Pence had a job to do. He could have stopped the whole thing.
What was his job to do? He was to do what? He was to do the right thing.
Right. And he didn't. And did you see yesterday where they're going to subpoena Jenny Thomas?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. And she's going. She's. They're going to call her into court. And I'm wondering what kind of shenanigans they're going to try to pull there on her.
Okay. Well, again, they're going after the all of the people that you know, the good people they're going after.
Yeah.
All of the this is a police state. We are now in a state. Okay. The FBI is like the KGB, okay? Or the Nazi secret police. That's what they become, Gestapo. They have become that way. Now, again, I know that there's a number of the agents, and I feel bad for them, that say, you know, we didn't sign up for this. You know, this is not what, you know, this is not who we are, okay? And it's this way all the time. You know, a rotten apple in the barrel makes the whole barrel, you know, and rotten.
And the other thing about the 87,000 IRS agents that, remember, initially they were saying that they would have must agree to use deadly force or be willing to use, deadly force. Then they backed off on that. But now Biden has said the other day that 50,000 of them were to replace people. So really it's only a net 37,000. They're supposed to be 50,000 of the 87,000 are supposed to be replacing people that are retiring or whatever, transitioning, I guess, as they call it, and that there's only going to be 37. And he's insisting on that, which I don't see, because why are you arming them?
Well, let me ask you this. Can you trust Joe Biden?
No. No.
Okay, then that answers your question there. Okay. You can never trust him to do anything.
I know, but that's what they're – that's their retort to the whole situation there, and it's really kind of scary. And I was looking at 80 billion of that 737 to 790 billion dollars worth of legislative money. 80 billion of it's for 87,000. That's almost for every 1,000 IRS agent, that's close to what would that be? $1 billion, because it's $80 billion bill, and it's 87 of them. So that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Okay. Here you go. Biden admits that the pandemic is over, but refuses to give up emergency powers. Now, here, remember what Karl Marx said. He said the people must be kept confused, off balance, uncertain. Okay. And if they're doing that, if you keep them afraid, off balance, they're easier to control that way. So he said in the process, say one thing, say another. Go one way, go another. In other words, keep
them on balance.
Right. This is where what this whole idea about is, you say, well, have they lost their minds? They don't know what a woman is. They don't know what a man is. They don't know that men don't get pregnant. They don't know that young boys don't have menstrual periods. Have they lost their minds? Have they gone crazy? No. This is a part of their own strategy. But here's how that backfires on them. They continue to say these strange and insane things, and pretty soon they start believing these strange and insane things. And then they do go crazy.
They become totally
reprobate, okay? Now here, Joe Biden made an unexpected admission in a 60 Minutes interview that aired last Sunday. The pandemic is over. There is just one problem. He is still actively continuing to use COVID as an excuse to ram through his policies. Biden made the admission in a rare lucid moment while visiting a packed Detroit car show alongside journalist Scott Pelley. Wait a minute. Let me say, alleged journalist, okay, who prompted by the robust attendance, asked Biden whether the pandemic was over. Pandemic is over, Biden agreed. We still have a problem, though, with COVID. We still doing a lot of work on it. The pandemic is over. If you notice, no one's wearing masks. Everyone seems to be pretty good shape. Listen, that whole thing was a hoax from day one.
What's never been isolated? It's never been isolated. They've never come up with what this COVID thing is. They've never seen it. And then remember, in Canada, they lost in the trial up there about that. They lost because they couldn't produce what the COVID virus was. They couldn't produce any.
Let me show you what the COVID virus did here. This wasn't what the virus did. This is what the so-called vaccines did.
Yeah.
Why did deaths among female children increased by 57% immediately after they were offered the COVID-19 vaccine. This is an article in the Exposé. Prior to young girls being offered the COVID-19 vaccine, deaths among the age group were in line with the expected five-year average. But in analysis of official data published by the Office for National Statistics, shows that deaths among female children increased by 57% immediately after they were first offered the COVID-19 vaccine.
That's so unreal.
Well, just think about this, though. We just read that article about Israel. All of those young soldiers, Now, don't, that it doesn't affect the young women as it does the young males, cardiomyopathy hits the young men a lot harder than, and not only that, but listen, in a normal year, and around the world, as far as world athletes go, you have between 5 and 8 that have dropped dead on the field. And I'm talking about soccer players, football players.
Right,
yes.
And basketball players on the court. That number has reached over 500.
100, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Okay, but you're not hearing that on NBC, ABC, CBS, or CNN, are you?
No.
Okay, and so...
What's interesting to me is that if this were a box of cereal, and let's say if somebody ate 10 boxes of, I don't know, we'll say brand X cereal. I don't want to say a name of any cereal, but let's say some cereal. If they dropped 10 of them, dropped dead, they'd take that thing off the market.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be off the market like the next day.
Yes, it would.
But this vaccine can kill a few hundred thousand, million people.
Mm-hmm.
And the band plays on, you know, and it's just it's there's the inconsistency in, you know, what they do. And these are the same institutions, because you got FDA, you know, and people like that are all involved in this same thing.
Well, if the Democrats were eating that cereal, they'd be Fruit Loops.
Yes.
Uh-oh, do you hear that? That is little Lisa. She's got an article. She's ready to go. Go for it, Lisa. Go.
Okay. U.S. media and politicians are celebrating the Ukrainian offensive in the region north of Kharkiv. What they fail to mention is the fact that the Ukrainian assault is being spearheaded by the neo-Nazi Azov Regiment. Russian online news site Lenta reports that mercenaries from Akademi, formerly Eric Prince's Blackwater, are also involved in the Kharkiv offensive, citing Russian state-owned television journalist Andrei Medvedev. Quote, there's information that private military company Akademi is actively involved in the operation of the armed forces of the Ukraine, the former Blackwater. Medvedev said the Azov regime was long decried in Western media as a neo-Nazi militia until the Russian invasion of Ukraine, when they were suddenly whitewashed as just another part of the Ukrainian military. And a 2016 report by Foundation for the Study of Democracy for the OSCE accused the Azov regime of systematically torturing prisoners.
Well, again, if people in this country, and if they really knew what was really happening there compared to what they're being told by the fake news media, again, they would feel one more time, you know, they would be angry because they are being lied to.
Yes.
And there is so much disinformation about what has taken place. Remember, they call it the narrative, but it's whatever comes down from the Soros group, and they say, this is what you're going to say. Forget, it's got nothing to do with the truth, and they will say whatever they're told, and they will report. Now, every now and then, one of them has enough. They can't take it anymore, and they'll say, I can't take it anymore, and they leave. And when they leave, the pack turns on them, okay?
Sure.
But
the other thing to me that's interesting, even in that war, is like, down to who's winning. We don't really even know who's winning.
Yes.
I mean, I know you had those this week. I didn't look at a bunch of those this week, but at the same time, the idea that, like, we don't know who's winning that war.
Uh-huh.
We don't.
Right.
Well, we do know that if Putin out there, Putin is telling us he's not bluffing.
Right.
and he's telling us that, you know, he's got a lot of good points because this country, first of all, they had turned the Ukraine into a huge money laundering operation. This country, the Obama, Biden, and the Obama regimes had taken out the rightful elected leader, and that president took him down and put in their puppet, okay? That's what you're not going to hear on NBC, ABC, or CBS. You won't hear any of that. Okay, so, and so, again, they all had big investments over in Ukraine, money laundering operations, all of the very, very corrupt, I mean the very corrupt Democratic Party heads here were making money hand over fist in Ukraine. And Joe Obama, remember when there was a prosecutor looking into all of the corrupt practices and dealings that his son had, okay, Joe Obama pressured the president because they were hurting and that we're going to take away the billions of dollars if, in fact, you don't fire him. And he bragged about it, okay? Joe Obama bragged. The Biden crime cartel is, you know, until Biden came along, Obama by far was the most corrupt. He had done the most amount of damage. But the Joe Obama-Biden crime cartel has done much more damage.
Much more, that's
yes.
right.
And so, now speaking of damage, Governor Newsom meets Icarus. Now, PG&E is inundating California, Northern California residents with warnings of the no power apocalypse. The frantic message proclaimed that if people keep using electricity, there will be no electricity. So you can't use that electricity or you won't have any electricity, right? And so they must stop using electricity, which is to say California does not have the power to deliver the power to the people. California government deliberately reduced reduction of energy during the past 50 years and thus has to beg and borrow and sometimes do without. A little history is necessary and the lessons are worth learning. First, thank you, Governor Jerry Brown. When Brown was elected governor, the first time he declared the war on hydrocarbon fuels, cars, freeways, dams, water, distribution systems, refineries, fuel distribution systems, prisons, single-family housing, and just about everything his daddy, the first Governor Brown, had worked to build. Jerry had four terms and 16 years to turn California dreaming into a sidewalk tent living. He was very good at
yes.
at destruction. So now, think about this. Remember when Reagan was the governor?
Mm-hmm.
California had a bigger economy than most countries
most
in the
countries
world.
In the world,
yes.
That's correct.
I think they were like number three.
Yeah,
okay.
like uh-huh. yeah, something. Yeah, they were in the top 10, though.
Right, California yeah. by itself. So
yeah.
when Reagan was governor, people were flocking to go to California, and it was a huge garden state. I mean,
that's
a
right.
huge garden state.
Yes.
Okay? When the communists took over, okay, and that's what this Brown was. He's a hardcore communist, and now you've got one that's even worse than him, if that's possible, okay?
Well, they're worried about the water levels in the rivers being too low to turn the power the turbines for the generation of electricity. I have two brothers that live out there, and I talk with my one brother almost every day, and he's really, you know, and that's one of the problems. They're worried about the levels of the rivers that they won't have sufficient power to turn the turbines that generate the electricity. So they you get into the catch 22.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here it is. Here's the answer. You see this book right here? It's called the King James
yeah,
Bible.
Yes. Yeah, the Bible. Yeah.
Now, if you read through this, you'll find out historically that when people turned their back on God, God would often cut off their water supply, right? He
yes.
would bring on a drought.
A drought, mm-hmm. yeah.
Or often he would bring on fire. He would either
right.
So he used fire and water. What has California been played with?
Well, they've been burning for 10 years. Yes. I mean, nonstop for 10 years. Mm-hmm. That place has been burning, and probably longer than that.
Yes.
And the same way, like you said, drought and then no water. It doesn't rain. Mm-hmm. It doesn't rain. God is withholding the rain.
So are these people so stupid that they don't get it? I mean, they just don't get it?
Obviously, the answer is yes, they are so stupid that they don't get it. Yes, they are.
Yes.
So Newsom's thinking, you know, I just don't get it. God, we've tried to tell God he doesn't exist. Okay.
He does. Since he doesn't exist, he can't be the one to talk to about water. Since he doesn't exist, you can't talk to him about water or fire. Can't do that. You know, you just can't do that because he don't exist.
Okay. So now, when people are leaving the state in huge numbers, the state is imploding, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
You see, if I was doing something and it wasn't going the way it should be going, I would change the way I'm doing it, right?
Right.
But see, that's the definition of insanity, remember, is doing the same thing and hoping for the different result. And that is exactly what they're doing.
Just doing the same thing. He's trying to make it worse.
Yeah, he's thinking if you do it quicker and faster and greater, that it, you know, it's something different might happen.
And so now when you have him, okay, this guy, according to the book of Jude, he's a brute beast. Okay, now,
right.
If you look at New York with the mayor there, what's it, Hulk? How do you pronounce that, their last name? I think it's Hulk or something like that.
Hochul.
She virtually said that all decent people should leave there and go to Florida.
Well, exactly. Yes, she did.
Yeah. And so now New York, like California, they've got an extremely wicked legislator. You know, the pastors in New York should be preaching to overtime. You people, when they celebrated the killing of innocent children, okay, the evil just permeated out of there. Okay, again, I wish there had been a way I could have got them in this session, locked the doors where they couldn't get out. And, boy, I would just love to have that captive audience for just a while to preach them about the fires of hell, because there are very wicked people. There are very wicked legislators. Now, what do you think would happen if the pastors in this country had the courage once again to preach the way the pastors preached, say, in the days of the revolution?
But they get the results that people had, like Jonathan Edwards and those people did who preached, like, say, sinners in the hand of an angry God. People would be literally on the floor, and they would be screaming and crying for repentance. They probably would feel the flames from hell on their feet, like the people said they did in those days. But you know, my point is that, but see, God said, if my people, and that's not everybody, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, he said, will I hear from heaven, right? Forgive their sin and heal their land.
Already.
My point is they're not doing that.
No, they're not. And the Bible says that all nations that forget their God will be turned into hell.
Yes.
And we're seeing America being turned into hell.
And California definitely is being turned into hell. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Now, Lisa's ready for her third one. She's got another article. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to open the phone lines.
Okay.
And then we're going to let Lisa do her article. So the phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Lisa, do it.
Okay. A Canadian transgender high school teacher has gone viral after wearing a massive set of fake boobs with protruding nipples and short shorts in front of young students. According to reports, his name was Stephen Hanna, who allegedly began identifying as a woman last year. Now the administration at Oakville Trafalgar High School in Ontario, Canada, sent a message to parents through email in which they defend this man's job status in the name of inclusivity, according to Redux. In addition, Halton District School Board Chair Margot Shuttleworth told the Toronto Sun that in light of possible protests when classes return on Monday, the school is, quote, working through creating a safety plan to safeguard the safety of the Oakville Trafalgar High School transgender teacher.
Okay, now let me ask you about this. What do you think? Those parents that allow their children to stay in that class, do you think they care much for their children?
No.
No.
They're turning them right over to a pedophile, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
And that school, you know, that again, folks, this is why we've been telling you for all of this time, you know, since the early 70s, we've told you if you love your children, get them out of the public schools. Get them out of there now. Get them out of there now. And you see what's happened to them.
Yes.
All right, let's go to... we have none other than sometimes he goes by the name as Clifford. Other times it's Joey. It depends on which show he's on. Because we've been monitoring, and Clifford has been embedded in different radio programs. You're on, Clifford.
That might be of interest that you guys might not listen to is the Propaganda Report podcast on iHeartRadio. Latest episode is, it's Brad Brinkley does this. He has something about the top advisor from Obama. How he's basically, giving information out, like, against Trump, against the megas. Basically, they gave him, started him on a podcast and backed him with millions of dollars and made it look like it was a grassroots podcast. It's not really totally catching fire, but that's an example of how they're using information warfare. And then he goes into, like, these training classes. He has, like, clips from them. Where it seems like they're getting, like, maybe, like, kids that I'm paying them, like, $17, $19 an hour, and they're giving them instructions, like, to how to face down your Trumpian uncle. That would be one side. And then disinformation on the vaccine, you know, it does not affect fertility, that type of thing. So one clip from that also was... that they said that even asking a question about the so-called vaccine, not questioning, just asking a question, would be considered disinformation. Just a question. So,
well, you know, it's an interesting thing because there's a lot of chatter. There's been a lot of chatter out there about before the election taking down the internet. And they're saying that because too many conservatives now are going in, and it's growing more and more. With getting the independent websites, getting away from Facebook and these others that can take you down, Twitter and what other. So they're thinking that the Democrats might try to take down the internet. But now that might backfire on them because it would go then to talk radio. And that's where the conservatives have a huge advantage on talk radio over the communists.
So. Yeah, and what's interesting about this, you know, a man and a woman, if you look at Grey's Anatomy, now anybody can buy that book read the section on the skull, and if you do read that book, you got to make copies of the diagrams because they refer to, like, they're like a page later. But the angularity of a woman's skull is different than a man's skull. In terms of how it angles.
Well, I got to tell you, Cliff, there's a whole thing, a lot of things in a woman's body is different than a man's body, Cliff.
Yeah.
I noticed it right away.
Even the skull.
Okay.
So how can you change that? But my last question is just on from James, where it says, he who is in trouble, he should pray. He who is afflicted, he should pray. What does Randy think about that? In other words, like, the onus to pray for some of your problems is really on you. There's a lot of people call prayer lines, and that's good, but you know, how do you make that delineation, you know, where you have a problem, it's on you to pray about it?
He's asking you, Randy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, actually, Cliff, this is how I see it. Who stands in judgment? Who stands in the judgment? You or somebody else for you?
Good point.
I'm saying that your responsibility ultimately, kind of, you know, for we'll say rational beings, is for you to pray for you, because you're responsible for your actions. In other words, God's not going to judge me, say, for what you do. He's really not. And it's up to me to maintain a fellowship with God so that God can and I can communicate on our own level. So as far as praying goes, you know, we are admonished to pray for people. But God said back in the Old Testament, I guess it was Jeremiah or maybe it was Ezekiel, Pastor probably remembers, but when he said that there would be no more of this, that you're going to talk for somebody else's body, that everybody was on his own. So you can pray. And if you think about it, how many times did the majority of one man praying in Scripture, the one man prevail? Because one man prayed. One man understood what the problem was. David understood what the battle was with Goliath. They didn't.
Daniel. All right. Thanks, Cliff. We got to move on. Yeah. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Feels so fine, this new age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what's sowed, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised, but that's not what the new age church is for. The truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth. But it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died, and he has risen on high. And if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him only still. Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man kind to be scared, though I go to heaven, or as I fear, below. I am, he said. You had better care. Isn't a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died.
We're back.
He is risen.
Let's go to AC in Cleveland. AC, you're in the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
Last night you had a, well, you didn't have a guest who was saying this, but you were saying that some well-known preacher was predicting that on the 24th or Rosh Hashanah, that the rapture was going to take place based on a 7,000-year crossover in some sort of cycle.
Yeah.
That's my question. You said this guy was well-known, and he was saying that the rapture was going to take place
on September 25th.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that's Scott Lively. Scott Lively is an old friend of mine. In fact, years ago, him and I were on the circuit together. We were doing the Shake the Nation tours. And so he's an author. He wrote the book, The Pink Swastika, which is a bestseller. But he was also the number one man in the entire world on the LGBTQ hit list. And so, anyhow, I'll just read you a little bit what Scott had to say. You ready? As my readers may know, the newly reconvened Jewish Sanhedrin in Jerusalem declared the Hebrew year 2015 and 16 a jubilee, literally for the first since the Roman expulsion of the Jews from the Holy Land in AD 135. If they are right, the first 7 years of Shemitah of the new 50-year jubilee cycle ends and begins on September 25th. In the light of current events, it is quite questionable that final 7 years of the age of the Gentiles begins this very weekend, along with a 3.5-year countdown to the unveiling of the Antichrist in the abomination of desolation around Passover of 2025. If so, whispers the beginning of sorrows, Matthew 24 have already begun, with far greater drama soon to be unsealed. Okay, so the article is quite lengthy, and it goes into a lot of different scenarios, but basically that's what we're talking about.
Okay, but the beginning of sorrows has already happened.
Yeah, well, we can say, you know, as far as, you know, we're seeing that. We're seeing that happen. We're seeing the reduction. But has it, you know, we are in the Bible talks the time of the birth pains, and that's happening. We definitely are in the evil day. And so there you go. All of those things were literally at our doorstep, are they not?
Yeah, well, a lot of the first couple verses of Matthew 24 have already occurred.
Yeah.
I mean, wars and rumors of wars, World War II fits into that perfectly.
So,
and
I don't get into making predictions or prophecies of the time of the rapture of the church or the time of the start of the tribulation. All I do know is that we are seeing, if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he takes you to, and the other passages, if you look like in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, you're talking about, and it says in later times or end times, but
right.
When it gets to 2 Timothy 3, he's very specific. He says, in the last days, so he's talking about specifically the last part of the sixth dispensation period. And so all of those things, when he shows you right there, right now are present in our society, every one of them.
Right. Yes. But no man knows the day or the hour of the rapture. And the gospel has to be preached and published in all the world for the rapture to occur. So, and because so many pastors have failed God, this hasn't been done completely yet.
You're telling me. I've been preaching on this for 50 years. And
yeah, well, I mean, so I'm just was curious when I heard this, you know, that he was predicting that.
Well, let me ask you this, and then I have to move on because the whole board's lit up. What I said earlier about if preachers were preaching the way that they should, the way that they did, okay, back at the beginning of this nation or back, you know, if they were preaching against sin the way they should and not being afraid to offend the offering plate but being more concerned about offending God by not being John the Baptist type preachers. You think the country would be in this condition that it is today?
No. The quality of preaching has diminished. I mean, if you look at the whole picture, a lot of pastors have failed God.
The vast majority of them. Yep, you're absolutely right.
A lot of Christians don't even have a clue what the rapture is going to be or what the tribulation period is going to be. They just don't have a clue.
Well, a whole lot of those have a profession of faith but not a possession. That's why Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. It's going to be a fraction of those that think they're saved. The rest are going to be in for an extremely rude awakening at that time. But I got to move on because the whole board's lit. But thanks, Tim. Let's go to Ed in Cleveland. Ed, you're in the air.
Hey. How are you doing, Pastor Ernie?
I'm doing okay. How are you, my friend?
I'm hanging in there. I just want to briefly give my take on where things are today. I believe that there is one constant as far as the cult goes, and that seems to be Freemasonry. You can go back to the Tower of Babel. You can look at the our situation in the Americas and so on. Even the founding of what I believe is Mystery Babylon, the United States, was founded by, in many cases, very bigoted Masons, and to the point that since its conception has been ran by Freemasonry up to the Bush family and beyond, and the whole nine yards as government. I think that the one Achilles heel, if you choose to look at it that way, has been Donald Trump, because he's an outsider. If he is a Mason, he's not one of the insiders, and they hate him with a passion.
Well, I think you could go to Ronald Reagan and even JFK. JFK also, even though he was a Democrat, he spoke out. He was the one that actually started the Iron Mountain.
Ronald Reagan was inducted in Freemasonry before he left office. I don't know if...
A lot of times, let me just tell you about this. Look, three times they attempted to recruit me, on three different occasions, okay? And often what they do, like with George Washington, when they asked him if he was a Mason, he said he attended one meeting, and it was an honorarium. He didn't really know what it was all about, okay? And that's the way it is with a lot of these people, that they're given these awards or the honor, and they don't really know what it's really all about, okay? And so I think we've had a number of, I don't believe that Eisenhower was one of those. He was the one warning against that, too. And so in my lifetime, we've had, a few presidents that were not Masons, okay? But not many. But there's even worse than the Masons. You've got the Skull and Crossbones, which both Clinton and
the Bushes too.
The Bushes and
the Bushes,
and I would be surprised if Obama wasn't a part of that.
Well, not that, but that's one thing that's really. That when I talk about the bigotry of it, the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry was the strongest rite of Freemasonry in the United States for about 100 years, and it was founded by Nathan Forrest and Albert Pike, which was both Confederate generals, and everybody from Strong Thurmond, Bob Dole, Jesse Helms, Jesse James, the outlaw, they were all Scottish Rite Masons, and it infiltrated the whole United States government. And to pretend that Freemasonry doesn't have a hold on the United States government is just like burying your head in the sand. It always has and always will. The big bankers are Masons. The Rockefellers, Rothschilds, the whole nine yard. I mean, that's American history.
Well, we've done, over the years, I've done probably at least a dozen programs on those that have written books about what Masonry is. And so, but I got to move on, my friend, because the whole board is lit. Okay, so now we have Global Research, John.
Hello?
Okay, you're in there. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, you brought up a couple of very vital points that I agree with. There's an article called, and it's on globalresearch.ca, and it's by a former CIA agent who turned into one of the white hats after he got disgusted with the assassinations and torture and other things that they were involved in covertly. And this is an article in globalresearch.ca. Zelensky oversees his campaign of kidnapping, torture, and assassination against any dissenters against his war against Russia. And another article on Global Research, CA, and also on the Gray Zone, thegrayzone.com, is how the bipartisan CIA cultivates a fake, emphasis fake left, and how they've captured and subverted that element of the political spectrum, the fake left, that is, because they could usually be relied upon to push a lot of the CIA skullduggery and wars abroad. And once you capture that, you've won the entire propaganda war. And I think among the funders of that are not only the Ford and Rockefeller Foundation, but people like George Soros. He's not a leftist. He is a supporter of the fake left, which is really crucial, almost even more than
he's an antichrist. He is worse. He's worse than a Nazi. I mean, he is an antichrist, and he's as bad as they get.
Well, that's right. And speaking of Nazis, you brought out that the United States spent $5 billion in CIA subversion to and violently overthrow the democratically elected government of Ukraine in 2014 under the bipartisan Obama, Biden, and Republican.
If you remember, we were telling you what they're doing. We were telling you, see what they're doing over there. Do you see what they're doing? Obama said, do you understand, folks, what's actually happening there? But we were the only ones talking about it. Nobody.
Well, that's true. I think people have got to realize it's a bipartisan evil pro-war, pro-imperialist. People like you pointed out, like JFK, got killed because they wanted to oppose this constant warmongering by the controlled CIA media. That we're exposed to all every day of our lives to lead us into genocidal wars like Korea, Vietnam, and covert wars that killed millions of people through saturation bombing around the world and are now supporting actual Nazis as the spearhead.
Absolutely. But I got to tell you this, and I have to move on. But Trump, too, wanted to get rid of the CIA. And this is why, you know, he's got like three layers of security around him, and I hope that's enough, but we need to keep him in prayer. But he, too, wanted to eliminate them, too, because they have become their own, like a little government within the government. But thanks, John. I got to move on. All right, Pat, how much time do I have? Pastor Hal, you're in the air. You've got
okay.
4 minutes, 4 minutes to tell us how we can get to heaven and avoid hell.
Okay, everybody listening to my voice tonight, you've got one thing in common. If you have any sense at all, you'd rather go to heaven than go to hell. And most of us have been lied to all our lives by church leaders and the press and everything else. Most of them will tell you your good works outbalance and your bad works will get to heaven. But you know, if you could quit sinning right now and never sin again till the day you died, just the sins you've already done would keep you out of heaven. Because God hates sin, and he can't let one sin into heaven. That he made provision for you to be able to be saved from hell. When Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you have ever done. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. God loves you, but he hates your sins. God wants you to come to heaven, but he says your sins can't come with you. And the only thing that can wash away your sins is the blood of Christ. And that takes place when you go to Calvary and admit to God that you're a sinner. That's repentance. The Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish, Luke 13:3. So when you go to God and say, God, you know, I admit that I'm a dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinner on my road to hell, and that I deserved hell and everything else, but I'm asking you to forgive me and come into my heart and give to me the payment you paid me for me on that cross. He'll do that. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And it's a free gift. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. If you want to go to heaven instead of go to hell, you go to God and you admit how unworthy you are. You can't save yourself. You want to receive the payment Jesus paid for you. And listen to this. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That means the Pope can't save you. Your best friend can't save you. Your church membership can't save you. Your good works can't save you. You can get water baptized so often every tadpole in the creek knows your Social Security number, and that's not going to save you. It's when you come to Jesus Christ and you're washed by his blood and redeemed by him that saves you, and he's the only one that can save you. And so if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, and you call upon him, which means you invite him to come into your heart and give to you that payment he paid for you on that cross. It's a free gift. Remember that. You've got to pray, and you've got to ask him to come into your heart and give it to you. He'll do that. And if you'd like to pray together, I'd like to, as a preacher, as a Christian, I'd like to lead you a few words at a time in a sinner's prayer. But even though we're praying together, it's directly between you and God. So if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ tonight, the payment he paid for you, just pray this prayer with me and mean it with all your heart. Dear God, I confess unto you that I'm a sinner and that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And Lord Jesus, I received the payment you paid for me on that cross. I believe you died on that cross and shed your blood to save my soul, wash away my sins, and give me eternal life. And I here and now ask you to come into my heart and give to me that payment, Lord Jesus. And I receive it in your name right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And that word, phrase, believe on, meant that you received him as your Savior. Why? That you may know that you have eternal life. The Bible doesn't say that you may think it, wish it, wonder about it, or hope for it, but that you may know. How can you know? Because God made you a promise that if you repent of your sins and receive Jesus as your Savior, you're going to get eternal life right then and there. So if God cannot lie, he makes you a promise. And if you just sincerely pray and ask Jesus in your heart, you have eternal life right now. And so get a King James Bible, read it, tell others about Jesus and how to be saved, and just fellowship with the Lord. Read your Bible daily. Ask God to walk with you and cleanse you of any sins daily between you and him. And just enjoy walking and fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, you know, Hal, I don't know, you know, how many, there's a lot of people out there listening to us across the country, coast to coast, and I don't know how many of them believe everything you just said, but I do know this, that every one of them will believe everything you just said.
That's right.
Yes.
And that will happen. There's no chance, and I was telling this atheist doctor, well, he called himself an agnostic doctor, and I was telling him, there is no chance at all that you're not going to believe every word that proceeded forth from the mouth of God. And he had a look on his face was just like, well, I can't believe that you have so much confidence that you're speaking with so much confidence. I've got a 110% confidence because God always does what he says he'll do. We're out of time for tonight, so until tomorrow, good night. God bless, and always, always
keep fighting the fight.
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.